We're continuing our series, Make It a Habit, tonight. We're looking at four spiritual habits that can shape your faith. Who remembers what the first one that we talked about 3 weeks ago was? Spending time with God. And we challenged you guys to make it a habit to spend time with God in some way every day during the course of this series. Now, I don't want to disqualify somebody like, oh, I missed like that one day. But how many of you guys were able to like try to do that a couple of times this past week? Anybody have success with that? Awesome. We want to just continue to encourage you guys, challenge you to continue to pursue Christ daily by spending time with Him. And then 2 weeks ago, who remembers what the second habit that we talked about was? Spending time with others. Do you like have it written down over there? Yeah. This is why you take notes. Then you can answer questions. But, right? So we talked about spending time with others in biblical community, and we talked about how we can do that by showing up in our small groups and in our families and in our community and why that's important. Well, tonight we're going to cover the third spiritual habit that's important, and that's going to be basically doing what Craig just did. It's sharing your story, telling your story to other people. But before we jump into that, I want you to take like 30 seconds. I want you to tell your neighbor what your favorite movie is and why. Go. Time is up. All right, somebody tell me, what's your favorite movie?
Greatest Showman.
Who said, was that you? Greatest Showman. Why is that your favorite movie?
Has
the best music. All right, what was your favorite movie?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Who's your favorite character in that movie?
Okay.
All right. Interesting. Somebody else, what's your favorite? I actually just watched that movie this weekend and I hated it. But somebody else, what's your favorite movie?
Rogue One.
Why is that your favorite movie? Who's your favorite character? Or who? All right. All right. One more. What's your favorite movie? Yeah.
We Were Soldiers.
Why is that your favorite movie? All right. A lot of principles about the military and leadership that you can learn. All right. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Avengers. All right. The first one. Not the second or the third one. I haven't seen Infinity War yet, so no spoilers. I'm going to see that tomorrow. But one of my favorite movies of all time is the first Avengers movie. And I was a big Marvel fan. Like, Beth and I watched all the movies in college, and you know, I loved The Incredible Hulk. I loved the Iron Man movies. Not so much the second one, but I loved Thor, and Captain America was one of my favorites, right? And so all of them coming together in one movie, I was like, that's going to be this epic movie, right? And it was. It's one of my favorite movies that I've ever watched. How many of you guys like The Avengers? Yeah. The rest of you, we're going to pray for you because that's the greatest movie of all time. Why do we like movies so much? Because it's an extended version of a TV show. Okay, so why do we like that? Yeah. It's entertaining. Yeah. It holds your attention. I'm going to tell you why you like movies, okay? You like movies because we all love great stories and we're too lazy to read the books, right? Right? And so we watch the movies instead. But we like movies because we like good stories, right? Maybe it's because stories let us escape like the mundane realities of our life and go into like this imaginary fantasy land, right? Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's because we're like introduced to these new people in the movies that are way cooler than the people that we hang out with, and we're like, man, I wish I could live in that movie world. Maybe movies like inspire you. Maybe they teach you new things about yourself. You get put in like situations in movies that you've never been in real life. Like, how would I respond to that? But we all like good stories, right? Across all the genres of different movies, you know, like Andrew probably likes romantic comedies, I like action movies, like, but we all like good stories. So why does any of that matter? Why are we talking about that? Well, because we're talking about sharing our stories tonight. And the truth is that you can live a good story, right? Your story might never be played out on a big screen, it might never premiere in front of a sellout crowd. It might not ever gross millions of dollars worldwide, but your life can be an epic story, right? Your life has all of the elements that are needed for a story, right? It's got a beginning. That's when you were born, right? It's got a main character, which is who? You, right? In case any of you are struggling with that, the main character of your story would be you. It's got plot twists. It has friendships, it has relationships, highs, lows, there's conflict. All of those elements of a story are in your life. And yeah, there's a lot of boring parts of your life, like going to school and doing homework and doing your job and loading the dishwasher and taking out the trash and listening to me talk. And all those boring things are in there, but we can edit those out later, right? And we can make a good story. And maybe you're not convinced. Maybe you're like, you know, my life's too boring, like nothing happens. Maybe I'm not a good enough character to like be the leading role. Maybe there's parts of your story that are painful, parts of your story you're embarrassed about that you don't really want people to know about. Whatever the reasons are, maybe you think your story is not worth sharing. And I get that. Like, we've been conditioned to believe that only our best moments are worth sharing, right? I blame social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, if you're still on that, right? What do you see on there? You see pictures of people on beaches, and you see pictures of people eating great food, and you see all of these types of posts. You don't see people like taking a picture of the roast that they left in the oven for 3 hours too long that they forgot about. Like, you don't see people posting that. You don't see people posting about, that wasn't a real life example from us. Beth would put a roast in a crock pot, not in the oven. Come on. All right? But we've been conditioned to think that only our best moments are worth sharing. And so when we think about sharing our story, sharing all of it, that's not appealing to us because we think everybody else has a better story, a better life than we do. But you know what makes a story really great? What makes a story really great is that it's not about perfect people, right? It's not about perfect lives. Think about the movie The Avengers, right? Like I said, it's one of my favorite movies, but I actually had very low expectations when I went to go see the movie in theaters. And I had really low expectations because I had just seen The Incredible Hulk, where he like saves the world on his own. And I had seen two Iron Man movies where Iron Man saves the world on his own. And I had seen Captain America and Thor save the world on their own. And so I was like, how are they going to put all of these characters in one movie and them all work together? Like, if each of them on their own individually can save the world, isn't four of them like overkill? And like, Captain America's my favorite, so is he going to like get less screen time than Thor, who was best favorite? Like, who's going to be the real hero in the movie? And I just didn't think it was going to work. And if you had gone to that movie, and if the movie was like 12 seconds long because there's a threat and all four of them show up and they're like, yep, it's over, that would have been an awful movie, right? What made the movie intriguing is the fact that everything I was afraid about, they showed on the screen, they showed them struggling over power, struggling to work together as a team. They showed them going through conflict, right? They showed them hitting a point where it looked like they were going to lose. Even though no superhero ever loses in their movie, there's that moment in the movie, the first time you see it, that you think, maybe this is the first time. And then they pull together and it works. What made the story great is that they weren't perfect, that they were imperfect. They were messy. They didn't work well together, and yet they're able to pull together and pull off something that we didn't think they were going to be able to. Like, that's what made the movie interesting. If they were all perfect, it would have been boring. So our lives aren't perfect, but that's okay because that would be boring anyways. If you've got your Bible, you want to open up to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read you a story that's found in the book of Mark that's really kind of this crazy story. And I've actually preached out of this passage twice when we were in our Mark series. This is a story that I really like, but we're going to look at it in a little bit of a different light tonight. And so I want you to imagine as we read through this story that you are the guy that we're about to read about. Okay, you can close your eyes, picture it, whatever you want to do, but picture yourself in this guy's shoes as this story unfolds. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says this. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This is the guy that I want you to see this story through his eyes. It says, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles into pieces. And no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. And crying out in a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we're many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs and let us enter them." And so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's kind of a crazy story, right? Like, a lot of times we just read the Bible and we kind of speed read it to check that off the box. We don't actually think, like, how crazy would it have been to be there? And that's got all the elements of a good story. It's got, like, suspense. From the very beginning, Jesus steps off the boat filled with the Holy Spirit, and this chained up naked man full of demons runs up to meet him, and it sets up this showdown between evil spirits and the Holy Spirit. It's got drama as they engage in this conversation. It's got this character transformation, a radical change in this guy. By the end of the story, it says that he's sitting there clothed in his right mind and he's just talking to Jesus. It's a radical change. And it's got a bunch of pigs in there that they killed, right? But imagine you're that demon-possessed guy. Imagine you're him at the beginning of that story as you run up to Jesus, as you're beginning to have this conversation. I really doubt he was thinking, "Man, this is going to be a great story someday." I really doubt that he was thinking, you know, someday people are going to read this story and people are going to preach out of it and they're going to try to learn things from this story. Like, he probably would have been appalled if he knew that his story was going to be told like this. I would imagine that he was feeling a lot of guilt and a lot of fear and a lot of shame and a lot of defeat in the beginning of this story. But Jesus shows up and he changes everything. But the best part of the story is that it doesn't end right there. We skip down to verse 18 and it says, "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might go with him. Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled." Jesus tells this guy to go home and to share the story of what Jesus did in his life. And so he does it. And he goes out and he doesn't just tell like his family. It says that he tells in the Decapolis. That means the 10 cities. Okay, this guy goes into his county, into all the nearby cities, and he starts sharing his story. And it says that everyone marvels at the transformation in his life. He discovered what I want you guys to discover tonight, and that's that sharing your story will grow your faith in God's story. As you share your faith, as you step out and you begin to share, it's going to grow your trust in God. It will grow your relationship with Him, and it will grow your trust, your faith in His story. You guys all have a story to tell. Every one of you do. You have a story to tell about how Jesus transformed your life. And he probably did not transform your life from being a naked man filled with a legion of demons to a follower of Christ. That's probably not your story, but that's okay. Your story has a past. Your past, what you were before you knew Christ and how God transformed you. God wants to redeem your past. He wants to restore the painful parts of your past and use it as part of your story to share with a lost world. There's a future to your story, a future that you don't know yet, and yet you can trust God with it because of what he's done in the past. You can live a life following Jesus with hope that he's going to come through because you know that he has in the past. And then you have your present, where you're at right now, where you're sitting right now. Christ wants to transform every aspect of your life. He wants to give you a story that's filled with joy, a story that's filled with hope, and a story about new life. But it's your decision if you'll give him the chance to do that. You see, when we start to share our stories of what Jesus has done in the past, what he is doing presently in our life, even in the messiness, in the middle of all of the trouble that we're in, you'll realize that stories can change people. Your story can impact people, right? You guys have heard various aspects of my testimony, right? There's this tendency that we think about the imperfect parts of our life. We think about the things that we're ashamed of in the past. We don't want people to know about those, and so we just like, I don't really have a story to tell. And that's not true. And your stories impact people. You've heard me share testimony about my freshman year in college and the difficulties that I went through, the doubt that I had towards God and the way that I began to walk away from my faith as a freshman in college. And, you know, for years after that happened, I was ashamed of that. And so, like, I would share my testimony because I felt like I was supposed to, but that part I didn't really like. It embarrassed me. And that happened all the way up until about a year after I graduated college when I shared my testimony, and a student came up to me afterwards and talked to me about how they were going through difficulties in their life and struggling with their faith. And they found hope in the fact that I had gone through similar struggles and I had come out the other side. And so I got to talk with them, I got to pray with them and to encourage them where they were at in the middle of their struggle based on the struggles that I had gone through. And that's the last day that I was ever ashamed of my past. Because I realized in that moment what Paul said in the New Testament, that I will boast in my weakness, because in my weakness, Christ makes me strong. In my weakness, in the darkness of your past, Christ will use that to give hope to other people. So that's why I share that. That's why I try to be open about where I'm at spiritually. I never want to be seen as someone on a stage that has it all together and you should try to get on my level someday. That's not what it's about. That's why when I first came, I talked about the difficulty that I had leaving my last church and how that was a struggle for me. That's why when Beth was still in Nigeria and we didn't know if they were going to get their visas to come down to come home before the government shut down. It's why I told you guys on a Wednesday, I was like, I'm struggling with that. Would you pray with me? Would you pray about that? Because we don't need to be ashamed of our struggles. As we share those, God will use those to impact other people. And your story can impact people, no matter what's in it. And when it does, you will become even more convinced that God was a part of all of it. Like, there was a time when I doubted about my past, like, how could God ever use that? And then I saw him do it. And God can use whatever's in your life, good or bad, to impact others for the gospel. And so we're called to share our stories. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples for the last time before he ascends into heaven. And so he's giving his last instructions to the 11 disciples before he turns over the entirety of his ministry to them. And he says this, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's already happened for us, right? We've already received the Holy Spirit. He says, you will receive the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming and it's going to empower you. And when it does, you will become my witnesses. He doesn't say you can. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and then you're going to stand at a crossroads and you can decide, am I going to be a witness or am I just going to like do a little church thing on the side? He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you're at right now, your hometown. In Judea and Samaria, into the surrounding community, into the uttermost parts of the earth, to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, that happens. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And Peter preaches a sermon, and the church goes from 120 believers to over 5,000. It's incredible. People start to notice. You think people would notice if you like multiplied your church by 50 in one sermon? That would be pretty incredible. And so people start to notice. And they start to get, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, gets a little bit on edge because all of a sudden this movement is starting to blow up and it's challenging what they know, what they've always thought religiously. And so Peter and John, they go do a miracle in the temple and it starts to cause more people to convert to Christianity, and so they haul them before these religious leaders, before the same council that tried Jesus and found him guilty and called for him to be executed. And they're debating what to do. And they end up coming to a place where they say, you can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. They have them beat, and they tell them, no more. You can't talk about Jesus anymore. With their lives on the line. And Peter looks up at them and he says, you judge for yourself whether it's right to obey God or man. And then in verse 20 of chapter 4, he says, we can't help but speak about what we've seen and heard. He says, we can't help it. You can threaten us, you can do whatever you want, but we can't help but speak. You see, there's a natural progression in the Christian life. You become a believer, and in that moment, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that happens, you begin to speak, and they say, we can't help it. We've seen things, we've heard things, we've been a part of things. God has done things in my life, and I can't remain silent about it anymore. See, the truth is, if you say that you're full of the Holy Spirit and you don't share your faith, if you say you're full of the Holy Spirit and you don't share the gospel, you don't share your story, you're full of something, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is clear that when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll begin to share our faith. And so what do we do? What do we do? You say, I'm just a teenager. I'm just in middle school. I'm just in high school. Like, I don't know enough yet. There's questions that I don't know the answer to. And so I just need to learn that. Like, if I can just sit in church for a couple more years, if I can graduate college, if I become an adult, I go get a job, then I'll be ready to share my faith. Just look around on a Sunday morning at people your parents' age, people your grandparents' age, and ask, has that worked for them? You see, for generations, people have come to church and they've done the church game and they've said, someday I'll know enough, and that day never comes. We kick the finish line down the road and we never actually begin to live out the Christian life. My hope is that you guys, this generation, will be different, that we'll begin to share our faith now, that we'll begin to actually be about Christianity and not just talk about it. And so what do you do? How do you get there? The first thing that you need to do is you need to know your story. Think about your past. Think about the way God has worked through your past. Think about the past that He saved you from. Think about your present right now, where you're at, what God is doing in your life. Think about the future. Dream about what God has planned for you down the road. Dream about what He wants to do in His kingdom through you. Write down your story, like literally write it down, type it up, whatever. Get comfortable with your story. You know it better than anyone. Get comfortable with it. And then I want you to share your story with your small group. Like, we do small groups every week after I speak, because engaging in community is one of the best ways to grow spiritually. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We talked about the truth that the people around you can grow the faith in you. I want you to share your story with your small group. And then share your story with all of us. That's why we give the opportunity every week for someone to give testimony, to share a devotion, to talk about what God's doing in their life. And then I want you to share your story often. Now, every day you wake up to a new chapter in your story. What would it look like if you handed that over to God? You let Him shape every day. What would happen if before you got out of bed, you prayed and you said, God, would you use me today however you want to? Put people in my path and use me to minister to them. And then you just went through your day looking for those people. You looked for opportunities to share. What would that look like? I want to challenge you guys to develop the habit of sharing your faith. And so write it down. Share it with your small group. Share it with us. Share it often with the people that you come into contact with. You know who's great at this? Is Jody Cash. 2 weeks ago, Jody taught, well, he's done it for the last couple weeks, but 2 weeks ago specifically, he taught Sunday school up here. And like, I looked over the lesson just in case he like didn't make it or something. And I'm sitting there while he's talking. And I'm like, we're not anywhere near this lesson. And we finally got there with like 2 minutes left. And you know why it took us that long to get there? Because he just started telling his story about how someone invited him to church when he was a kid and how he met with God and how God has radically changed his life. He couldn't even get to the Sunday school lesson because he was sharing his story. Every time I see that guy post something on Facebook, he's inviting people to church. He's talking about the gospel. He's posting Bible verses. He's someone who has been changed by Christ, and he wants to see Christ change others. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to be good at speaking on a stage to tell people what God's doing in your life. So remember, sharing your faith will grow your faith. Sharing your story will grow your faith in God's story. And so my challenge for you guys is to begin sharing your faith now and make it a habit for the rest of your life. And if you don't have a story, There hasn't been a moment that you've accepted Christ, that you've been filled with the Spirit and been rescued from your past. I would love to talk to you about that. Like, one of our leaders would love to talk to you about that and share with you how you can become a believer and how Christ can change your life. And so if that's you, when we dismiss to small groups in just a moment, I want you to come and talk to me because I'd love to have that conversation. And so here's what we're going to do. We are going to get in groups of like three or four here in just a second. And I want you guys to group up with a couple of people near you. And I want you to spend about 5 minutes. I'll put a timer up on the screen so you can kind of keep track. And I'll come up and close us in prayer when it's over. But I want you to spend a few minutes praying with a couple people that are around you, asking God to use you, to use your story to impact people. Maybe you've got a specific person that God would lay on your heart and you want to pray for that person. You want to get your group to pray for that person. But I want you guys to group up, again, just spend a few minutes praying together as a group about sharing your faith and about making an impact for the kingdom. So let's do that right now.